So Power of One started in 2013 out of a desire to be a church that understands the role that the local church plays in making a kingdom impact around the world. Bill Hybels is quoted as saying that the local church is the hope of the world, and I tend to agree with him. The philosophy of Power of One is based on the scripture found in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I'm sure the first question the apostles had was, how are we going to do that? They were just given this incredible commission to be his hands and feet, not just to the local church, not just to the place where they were, but to the global church, the church that didn't even exist yet. As Jesus is ascending and he's giving these instructions, the disciples, the apostles are left there standing going, how are we going to do this? They quickly realized that in order to make a kingdom impact in the world, they needed to rely not just on each other, but they needed to rely also on the soon-to-be converts of Christianity. This attitude and understanding is what makes Power of One so powerful. Let me ask you this question. How will you reach the 77 neighborhoods of the city of Chicago? You by yourself, how will you reach the 77 neighborhoods of the city of Chicago? How will you by yourself give a backpack to every child, every student in Martin County, Kentucky? How will you help scared pregnant women in Durban, South Africa? How will you make an impact in Korea? How will you do that? How can you feed 2,885 kids one nourishing meal each day for an entire year? Or be a part of packing 1,053,216 meals in 3 days? You see, folks, we've done that. We've been a part of that. Through Feed My Starving Children this past year, Trinity alone packed enough meals to feed 113 children 3 meals a day for an entire year. That's worth celebrating. You can clap, it's okay. Now, I have to pre-warn you, there's two things that people have noticed today. Number one, that you all got a ping pong ball when you came in. And number two, that I'm wearing a tie. Yeah, right? I'm not opposed to them. But you know what? The reason I did that is because then you know today is different. There's something different about today. Every Sunday is Easter for us. We don't wait to just a day on the calendar to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so just like that, today is different because it's Power of One Sunday. I want to warn you now that my heart, my attitude, my emotions are on 1,000. I'm going to be going 1,000 miles per hour today, and I need you to come with me. Because the worst thing for me is to be so excited about Trinity's kingdom impact and for the church to respond like, oh, that sounds nice. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, right? No, we shouldn't act that way. We shouldn't be that way. We should be just as equally excited about what God has done through the people here at Trinity and the impact that we've had, not just here locally, but globally. It's so exciting. So I need you to be excited with me today. And even if you're not excited, fake it. Just fake it for me. That would be awesome. All of this is possible. All the things I mentioned to you are all things that we have participated in. This church had the opportunity to give a backpack to every single student in Martin County, Kentucky. That's amazing. And it's all possible through the support of Power of One. John F. Kennedy said, "One person can make a difference, and everyone should try." Because we're a church that believes in the mission and the ministry of God, we participate in many areas of giving. One of the key areas that we participate in is called the World Evangelism Fund. The World Evangelism Fund is the denominational mission and ministry movement that we support through giving each year. This fund supports approximately 700 missionaries and volunteers serving around the world. Today, as we worship in English, there are Nazarene churches worshiping in more than 212 languages. And 212, not just languages, but also tribal languages in 150 different world areas. That's the church that we are a part of. That's the church that we get to support and come alongside. Not just a local impact, but a global impact for Christ. The Church of the Nazarene operates 33 medical clinics and hospitals worldwide. You know, I just heard the other day through Nazarene Compassionate Ministries that there's a clinic and I can't remember exactly where it is. And if you remember, Kaylee, help me to remember. But there's a clinic that everybody who is working there took a pay cut in order for that clinic to stay open. Papua New Guinea, thank you. We have a clinic in Papua New Guinea where the doctors, the nurses, everybody who works at that hospital, at that medical clinic, took a pay cut in order for the clinic to stay open because they believe that what they're doing makes a kingdom impact. We get to support the global church. And it's amazing. So through the World Evangelism Fund, this past year, Trinity Church gave $26,825.21 to the World Evangelism Fund. That is worth celebrating, folks. What's amazing is $16,882.05 came directly from Power of One support, with an additional $4,880, which is considered approved mission specials. Let me tell you just quickly about what mission specials are. Mission specials are from you all in the congregation giving directly to the global need, either through Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, Child Sponsorship, Alabaster, Links, all of these different things that you as a congregation participate in. So not only did our congregation give to Power of One, you also gave above and beyond to Nazarene initiatives directly, totaling $4,880. That's amazing. That gives us a total global giving of $31,705.21. That's what Trinity did. That's what Trinity did, is for a global impact in the world around us. So that's a global look at our giving. But we're also a vital part. We're a church that believes being a vital part in the work here in the Chicagoland area. Our home district. So Trinity is a part of a network of churches called the Chicago Central District. And the Chicago Central District this year can only operate effectively by the support of its local churches. This past year, we gave $24,386.55 to the Chicago Central District. That's amazing. That's a continuation of not just a global impact, but a local impact directly to support the work that God is doing in the Chicagoland area. So continuing in our incredible act of generosity, we also supported our retired Nazarene pastors through what's called the Pensions and Benefits Fund, to which we gave $10,973.95. You see, our Nazarene pastors rely on pension support from years and years of ministry, many who grew up in parsonage homes, who have no equity in home ownership and have the struggle to continue to survive or to thrive in after retirement. So we as a Church of Nazarene believe in supporting them because of their years of ministry. And so we supported them by giving $10,973.95. You may not be aware, but the Church of the Nazarene also has 14 liberal arts universities and institutions, some in Africa, Brazil, Canada, the Caribbean, Korea, and United States, and as well as 5 graduate seminaries, 31 undergraduate Bible and theology colleges, and 2 nurses training colleges, 1 education college worldwide. I mean, so the Church of the Nazarene is not just in the area of helping out in medical clinics and those types of works around the world, but we're also about helping education around the world and educating Nazarene pastors to make a global impact. So, Olivet Nazarene University is located in Bourbonnais and is our regional college that we support through our educational fund. This past year, we supported and provided $10,973.95 to the Olivet Education Fund. And I can tell you that the money that is given to Olivet through that fund goes to support Nazarene students and undergraduates to be able to afford and to receive scholarships and aid. Every Nazarene student who graduates and that attended a Nazarene Nazarene church when they went to Olivet receives over $4,000 just in scholarships alone because they can say they're a Nazarene. Just because they say they're a Nazarene, they receive financial support from the institution, from Olivet, and that comes directly from local churches like ours who believe in the ministry and the mission of Olivet Nazarene University. You're looking at a product, and there's many of you. In fact, if you have attended Olivet or graduated from Olivet, would you raise your hand? Look at that. How awesome is that? We have many, many students and graduates from Olivet that attend here locally. So we believe in supporting Christian higher education, but even more specifically, supporting Olivet Nazarene University. Like I mentioned earlier, Power of One started in March of 2013. Our pledge goal that day on the first Sunday in March 2013 was $32,447. That following year, in March of 2014, we received $35,599. First goal set, first goal met. Then, knowing in 2015 that we desire to do more and give more as a church, we set a goal knowing that only God would get the glory if we hit it. We set an audacious goal, and our goal amount last year was $52,975. Up until last Sunday, which was the last Sunday of the church year, we received all in total for Power of One giving $53,737.16. To God be the glory. Folks, look at the difference in the amounts between 2014 and 2015. God is doing a work. Only God can get the glory. We set a goal knowing that it was huge, knowing that we were going to step out in faith as a congregation and believe in God for big things. God not only provided through many, many of you in the congregation, but he also provided through people that don't even attend Trinity, but believe in the power and the mission of what we are about as a church. So, this is my favorite slide of the entire day. I love this slide because it tells us what our total giving was to others in 2015. Are you ready for this? So Trinity, in 2015, our total giving to others, meaning goes outside the walls of the church, $114,893.37. That money, all of what I'm going to share with you today as we raise funds for Power of One, you have to remember this important fact. All of it, every single penny of it that comes in is designated offering, meaning the church cannot spend it for operational funds. We spend it in designated areas of mission and ministry. It won't keep the water running. It won't keep the lights on. It won't function to pay our utilities. It goes directly to being impacting kingdom-minded to a local and global church. That's important. You need to know that. Every bit of those, every cent, down to 37 cents of that 114,000 was given with the intention of being a local church having a global impact. And we don't just believe, like I said, in the global impact of the church, but also the local impact of the church as well. So I'll get into more detail later. But that $53,737.16, and yes, you'll hear me repeatedly use getting down to the cents, because you have to know that every cent matters. Every cent that you give, God uses. God is the one that told us in Scripture that if we reap sparingly, if we will sow sparingly. I think that's switched around, isn't it? If you sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. But if you sow generously, you'll reap generously. This church, this past year, I have to admit to you that we struggled financially. But we are here, and I'm able to make this report to you and tell you that still, even in the midst of struggle, we gave $114,000 away. Folks, only God can get the glory. Only God can get the glory. So here are the highlights, just some of the highlights. On June 28th of this past year, we participated in an event called Love Does. It was an outreach opportunity where we went out into the community and we began to build relationships and stronger relationships with our neighborhoods. We went out and we served as the hands and feet to our local church. And 165 of you participated in being the hands and feet of Jesus. We're going to do it again. Even in the midst of that Love Does on June 28th, everybody bought a t-shirt. And do you remember what the t-shirts were for? They weren't just for communicating the event and what we were doing. They were going to help the Heaths, who were going to be experiencing just the struggle, the financial struggle of Rachel's treatments. And did you know that we gave the Heaths a check for $750 to go directly to them through the sales of the t-shirts for Love Does? That's amazing. This past year, it was the second year that we did neighborhood VBSs. We're in four different locations scattered around the area. We had over 100 kids each night in the four locations. So we impacted and touched the lives of children who some had never heard the gospel message. And we didn't wait for them to come to us. We went to them. And Power of One was there believing in the mission and the ministry and the kingdom impact. This past year, we didn't go to Costa Rica. In fact, Costa Rica came here to us. When Costa Rica came here to us, we hosted them. And Power of One helped fund a meal in their honor. And it also helped us to be able to honor them and thank them for their sacrifice, because the average household income in Costa Rica is $14,000. But yet they spent over $1,500 to get on a plane to fly to the Chicagoland area and to serve for a week. And all because they wanted to say thank you, not just to God, but to say thank you to a district that supported them. As we've sent teams year after year down to Costa Rica. And I'll get into more of that next. And it was amazing that this team, while they were here, they walked in the door and Pastor Johnny, the district superintendent for the Costa Rica North District, stood and he looked at this wall of tiles. And he realized that there was something different about these tiles. And he asked Carla Lovett, "What are these?" And she said, "And we're raising money to be a local church with a kingdom impact." He believed in it so much that they had a few funds left over out of their Power of One budget, or I'm sorry, out of their Costa Rica trip budget, that they donated themselves $150 towards the goal. A group of people whose average income is $14,000 sacrificially gave, and they supported our mission and our ministry to be a kingdom-minded and kingdom-impact church. Guys, that's amazing. That's God. That's God. This past year, 30 children in Angel Tree were impacted directly by 75 gifts that the congregation brought together and donated to these 30 children. And the amazing thing about Angel Tree is not the gifts that were given, but the love and the grace and the mercy that was given with them. Rick and Patty Smith, and I know they're watching online because Patty told me that they were going to be doing that. She's unfortunately has the flu. Sorry, Patty. But Rick and Patty had incredible interactions with people as they were going around handing out these gifts. One family was impacted forever because the mother had indicated that just a few hours before that, she had contemplated taking her own life. Until Rick and Patty showed up and they extended grace and mercy and they gave gifts on behalf of the Trinity Church of the Nazarene. Her hope was restored, all because somebody went out, bought a gift, wrapped it up, and turned it into a family who was in need. That's a kingdom impact church. That's the church that I am so proud and honored to pastor. This past year, CORE has continued on. And 15 to 18 kids come regularly on Thursday nights. And Dan Coughlin and Alan Rovenstein and Zach Carlton and other workers are still continuing to minister to these guys week after week, sharing with them the love of God. Also, this past year, we catered a meal for the teachers at Brookdale Elementary School. They were blown away. They walked into the staff lounge and they saw a tray of food, and on it said, "Compliments of Trinity Church of the Nazarene." No strings attached. No cards that say, "Attend our church." Just sharing the love of God with them. Believing that God can do more through a sandwich than maybe we can do with our words. Believing that the power of the Holy Spirit is with us. And as we obediently follow Him, He obediently leads us into those areas. Power of one is so important. It is so important. We are blessed as a church. We are blessed with all the things that we have. We are blessed with all the things we get to do. But the biggest blessing that we get to be is the hands and feet of Jesus in the world around us. We're going to sing a song here next called "The God of This City." It's a familiar song maybe to many of us. But I want to share with you that in 2011, in December, I was in Bangkok, Thailand, and I was participating in an event called Third Wave, being a representative from the Central USA and going over and being a part of the global movement of the church with young people. I got to see firsthand the Nazarene Church in action internationally. To talk with Nathaniel, who lives in Bangladesh. And in Bangladesh, they have birthed new churches, thousands of new churches. And to hear the stories and what God is doing around the world. To sit across from Vern Ward III, who is now our global missions director for the Church of the Nazarene, and hear his heart and passion. To recognize that the local church makes the greatest kingdom and global impact. And I'm telling you, folks, I stood in a room and then we heard the story of this song. The first lines of the song are very simple. "You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people." Chris Tomlin wrote this song in Bangkok, Thailand. He recognized that in Bangkok, if you were to even step on one of their currencies that had a picture of the king on it, you'd be thrown in prison because they worship the king of Thailand. Folks, this morning, we don't worship the king of Thailand. We don't worship any other kings except for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when we sing the words, "You're the God of this city," we believe and know that God is the God of Naperville, USA. He's the God of Wheaton and Warrenville. He's the God of Oswego and Yorkville. He's the God of Bolingbrook. He's the God of Plainfield. He's the God of Chicago. And we believe that God is the King of not just the people in Thailand, but the King of us today. Amen. So I encourage you, as we continue to really just open up our hearts of what does God want to say and do it through us and in us through Power of One this year, would you stand with me as we just sing and worship the God of this city? Church, I hope that's just not a song that we sing, but it's a song that we believe in, that we believe that God can do more with us than we can do on our own, that we believe that Power of One is vitally important to the mission and the ministry and the life of our local church. So I have to tell you, according to the band Three Dog Night, one is the loneliest number. But did you realize how powerful it can be as well? Consider this. Consider the power of one degree. My dad was a pilot in the Air Force, and he shared with me many things that were very interesting about flying. But one of the things he shared with me was the power of one degree. He said, every one degree you fly off course, you'll miss your target landing spot by 92 feet every mile that you fly. So this means for every 1 mile that you're off course, it actually equals 60 miles to the end of your destination. So go with me a little bit further in this. If you start at the equator and you fly around the world and you're 1 degree off, just one click, it would be equal to then being 500 miles off your target when you get around to the other side. So this would be like taking off in Tallahassee, Florida, with the desire to land back in Tallahassee once you've gone all the way around the world. But instead, as you start your final approach, you realize that you're landing in Key West, Florida. 500 miles off course. Or think of it this way. If you took off from JFK Airport in New York and your flight is to California and LAX and you were 1 degree off, you'd actually would end up being 40 miles out into the Pacific Ocean. So this means 1 degree off means the difference between getting to your meeting on time or using your seat as a flotation device. That's the power of 1 degree. Imagine building a home and being 1 inch off. 1 inch. 1 inch off in building a home can mean the difference between safety and destruction, just 1 inch. Or maybe you don't think 1 inch can make a difference. Tell that when all of England was in an uproar when it discovered that artist Oscar Santillan removed 1 inch from England's tallest peak, Scaffold Pike. Scaffold Pike measures 3,209 feet. Actually, now it's 3,208 feet and 11 inches. But the place, England, went crazy when this artist removed just 1 inch from the top of the mountain. All in the name of art. All in the name of art. So we've talked about 1 degree and we've talked about 1 inch, but what about 1 day? What about 1 day? You may or not be familiar with the story found in Joshua 10, but tucked inside this chapter is the story of Joshua's audacious prayer asking God for one more day. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, it's page 174. We're going to look just very briefly at Joshua chapter 10 to help us understand the power of 1 day. The chapter opens with 5 Amorite armies planning to attack Israel. Now, before we go into the details of Joshua chapter 10, you have to know that the Israelites were well outnumbered. It wasn't just five Amorite armies that were attacking them. It was five huge Amorite armies that were coming against Joshua and the Israelites. The Israelites had no chance of defeating the Amorites. But Joshua decided to attack first. And he got backing from God. Look at verse 8. "Don't be afraid of them," the Lord said to Joshua, "for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you." So it's amazing. At dawn, Israel attacked. Tiny Israel went up against the five Amorite armies. And the cool part is God got into the action too. Look at verse 11. "The Lord destroyed them with a terrible hailstorm from heaven." How cool would that have been, right? You're starting to fight this battle and they start running and God's going ahead of them and he starts hailing huge. Oh, I didn't realize that hailing, huge hailstorms, hailstones. Hurling, well, I'll use that word. So they start hurling huge hailstones down on the Amorites. But then the sun started to set and the victory hadn't been won quite yet. And Joshua was maybe not getting nervous. I think he knew and he believed the promise that God had already given him that not one of them would be spared, that the entire Amorite army would be killed, that they wouldn't be able to stand up against him. I think Joshua believed that. But he believed that he wanted to see it in that day. So as the sun began to set, Joshua started to pray. Now, for even the best of Christians, we might say, well, I've done all that I can. I mean, look at all the things we've accomplished. God said that the victory is ours. So even if the sun sets, we'll be okay. I've done all that I can. But Joshua didn't stop at that thinking. Instead, Joshua summoned all that he had, and he prayed one of the most audacious prayers for one more day. Look at verse 12. "Let the sun stand still over Gibeon. O moon over the valley of Ajalon." Let the sun stand still. Joshua didn't pray to speed up the process. He didn't pray, okay, God, the sun's setting, so I need you to do your work now and complete this before the sun goes down. No, no, no. Joshua was more audacious in his prayer. He had too much faith and power and belief in what God was going to do through that. And so he said, "No, God, give me more time. I want one more day." And so he prayed this incredibly audacious prayer, this huge prayer, "Sun, stand still." Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. It seems crazy. But look at the results. Verse 13 and 14. "So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies." Skipping down, "The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and it did not set as on a normal day. There has never been a day like this, one before or since, when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day." Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. Joshua believed in the God of the impossibles. Joshua believed that God could do the impossible. He knew that it was a crazy idea. I mean, to fathom literally praying out loud, "Sun, stop. Moon, stop." To just even think about that. I mean, to walk outside today and to have the faith big enough to look up into the sun, which I heard is supposed to be out today. That's pretty cool. And to say, "Stop." He says, I need one more day. See, the impossible didn't stop Joshua, and it shouldn't stop us either. People doubted and thought I was crazy to suggest that last year that we could raise $52,975 for Power of One. They thought I was nuts. That's okay. It's okay. You can doubt me, because I'm not the one that you should be putting your faith in anyway. because I'm not the one that raised $52,975. In fact, we didn't even raise $52,975. Oh yeah, that's right. With the power of God behind us, we raised $53,737.16. Who's crazy now? Like I said, you can doubt me all you want, but I'm not the one you need to put your faith in. Our power of one goal for this year, as I already mentioned very briefly at the beginning, is $53,150. That $53,150, I just want to share with you just very quickly a breakdown of what that's going to go towards. So we believe in Acts 1:8 that we will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We believe in the power of the scripture and the commission that God had, that Jesus had given the apostles, that we established it here ourselves. We believe in Jerusalem ministries, Judea ministries, Samaria ministries, and ministries to the ends of the earth. So our breakdown begins in Jerusalem. And I'm going to share with you that $18,500, or roughly 35%, 35% of the funds that will come in for Power of One next year will go towards our Jerusalem ministries, which includes benevolence, children and youth camps, Hesed House, outreach projects, and youth ministry. Let me just share with you the importance, just a few quick information and facts about each one of these areas. For benevolence, benevolence is one of the most important ministries in the life of our church. We have many, many people in the congregation that have been impacted by benevolence here at the church. And we have a process that we go through, and there's a committee of people that monitor the benevolence, and we want to make sure that our giving isn't toxic. We want to make sure that we're supporting and we're helping and not enabling when it comes to benevolence. And this past year, many of you in the congregation received help from the Benevolence Fund of the church. Our first priority is our congregation. Our second priority is our community. We've had a number of people that come in from the community who are asking and looking for help. And sometimes we don't give people in the community financial help. Sometimes we do. But we help come alongside them and support them and find them areas that they can get help. The Benevolence Fund is so important. And it's also an opportunity for us to sometimes be creative. So I just want to share with you one of the creative things that we did this past year. We really have, this church has had a burden for the Heath family, knowing that Rachel has gone through battling cancer twice, not once, but twice. And this second round of cancer was more aggressive, and it took over way faster than they anticipated. And many of the doctors were somewhat confident that they were going to be able to nip it in the bud, but at the same time, we're also saying we really need to get this under control. So she went through months and months of radiation and chemotherapy. And we as a church just felt that burden of what can we do? How can we support? How can we help them? And one of the coolest things that we got to do was kind of play Secret Santa. And I don't even know if they know this, or maybe they do, but every once in a while, Michelle, my administrator, would go online and she would put money into their account to pay for the meals at CDH, which was the hospital that they went to. And so I guess to my knowledge, and Patricia and Daniel, you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, I believe that all the meals were funded for their stay in the hospital in all those months that they were going back and forth. Every single meal. In fact, there was one time, we could celebrate that. Somebody lost their ball. Oh, Mr. Seth. Here you go, dude. It's okay. It's okay. You can lose your marbles, right? You know what? That's a really good segue just for a second. You guys are at a church where when you lose your marbles, and if you were here to hear Hal Perkins share that story, your pastor isn't going to glare at you. He's going to put his arm around you and say, it's okay. And the people of this congregation are going to put their arm around you and say, it's okay. It's okay. Seth, thanks for that analogy, bud. So one of the coolest things was one time I was in a conversation with Patricia, and she said, she had made mention that for some reason she thought that the cafeteria wasn't actually deducting the amounts for the meals on her car. Do you remember that? And I kept my mouth shut because I was cracking up on the inside because Michelle, playing Secret Santa, kept putting more and more into it. So they didn't have to. So these are just some of the creative things that we believe in doing in helping support the people of our church and also our community. Children and youth camps. I have a dream. And really, it's come out of just the understanding over the past couple of years that Pastor Sally and other people have been sharing with me about the power of camp. I've always known that camp has a powerful purpose. You're looking at the product of camping ministries. So did you know that 80% of adult Christians made a decision for Christ before their 18th birthday? 80% of adult Christians made a decision for Christ before their 18th birthday. Did you also know that 80% of Christians made a decision for Christ at a camp or a retreat setting? Now, I want you to think back, and I don't know the answer to this, but how many of you can say, as you sit here today, that you gave your life to Christ, or you had a spiritual awakening moment at either a camp or a retreat setting? Would you just raise your hand? Wow, look at that. Camp is so important. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to come alongside the effort of families that are already raising funds for camp. And we want to, as a church, come alongside them and offer the opportunity to send all of our kids and all of our teenagers to camp for free. It's not going to come without sacrifice. We're going to ask that the parents and the families be involved in fundraising, and that we as a church will support them in fundraising. Hey, who doesn't love going to Potbelly after church on Sunday? And the fact, yes, there you go. So, for us, we want to be a church that really supports our children being able to go to camp and go to our youth camp as well. 63% of parents say that their children come home from camp with a new and positive habit, which is awesome. This past year, Hesed House, we served over 600 guests at Hesed House in the four different times that we went. Over 600 guests were impacted and fed a meal because of support of the church. Outreach projects. This is actually new for the Power of One. See, the outreach projects, we do many different things around here, but a lot of times they don't have a budget. And so it's interesting how often people come up and they say, hey, can we do this? And I say, yes, but actually we don't even have a budget for it. And so the finance committee keeps looking at me going, what are you doing? And the reality is I just refuse to allow us to stop. And truthfully, it did get us into a little bit of trouble once in a while, but we have a wonderful, wonderful finance committee, and they do a fabulous, fabulous job digging me out of the hole. So we want to add into the Power of One budget a line that we can support outreach projects. The Easter egg hunt, for example. You heard Pastor Sally share in the video that we had over 200 families show up. We were way, way outnumbered. We didn't have near the number of people because we were short-sighted in how many people would potentially show up. This year, like you've heard me say before, we need everybody to come out. We need ministry leaders to help us by setting up tables so that the community can know the ministries that we offer here at the church. And then also Love Does. We want to do Love Does again. And we want to be able to have backing financially to be able to support. I mean, we purchased over 200 flowers. 200 flowers were purchased in order for us to be able to give out to the community. That was just one of the projects that we did. And then also, one of the things that I have a passion for is Celebrate Recovery. And as many of you know, it's I love my CR family, because CR rocks. It does. And I think I mentioned to you before that the only advertising that we've ever had for Celebrate Recovery have been a banner, two banners out front. That's the only advertising that we've ever done for Celebrate Recovery. You'd be amazed how much those banners do for people that are driving by. And you ask people, well, how did you hear about Celebrate Recovery? Oh, I saw your banner. Well, we don't want them just to see a banner. We want them to hear a message. So a part of the outreach project funds that I'd like to use is for us to put together an advertisement that will run on radio stations so that people will hear that there is an opportunity to receive hope and healing in this area. To my knowledge, there has not been a Celebrate Recovery that has ever taken the step to really get out there and to market Celebrate Recovery. Folks, I believe in this ministry. I believe that one of the things that our community needs, and I think that it is something that God has placed a burden on my heart, is for us to offer hope and healing to the world and our communities around us. Also, another thing that we would be funding this year out of Power of One is for Pastor Katie and for the youth ministry to have an opportunity to use funds to do things to take the youth ministry to the next level. So that's Jerusalem. Judea is some of our district initiatives. We plan on funding $1,500 for 3%, and it doesn't seem like much. And the truth is, this past year, we had the opportunity to support pastors for Christmas. And we gave money to a local Hispanic pastor on our district, as well as giving money to Pastor Omar in the Canes Dulces Church in Costa Rica as a Christmas present. We had that opportunity to do that because we had Power of One funds that we could use. We also still partner with Reach 77 in helping them to be have an impact in the 77 neighborhoods of Chicago. I want to read to you just a letter that I received from Lauren Seaman. This is Pastor Steve and Trinity Nazarene. Greetings from Reach 77. We hope you're enjoying this wonderful Christmas season. This is during the Christmas season. We're so grateful that you made partnering with Reach 77 and serving the city of Chicago part of your story again this year. Thank you for your generous contributions to the Kalabahali family. I think I got that right. Meeting what are incredible, tangible needs. As refugees, they are significantly limited, and the gifts you have given mean so much. We're eternally indebted for the prayers and support of mission-minded churches like yours who give of their time, energy, and resources. We will keep you posted on how God will use what you have given for kingdom purposes. Trinity Church, you helped make this Christmas season all the merrier for the family and the Reach 77 community. Thank you for helping to shape the story of God in Chicago. On behalf of Reach 77, we want to thank you for your kindness and for your generous spirit. We will be praying for you as you continue to serve him in mighty and powerful ways in your city and the many communities your congregation touches. We are grateful. Signed, Lauren David Seaman. I also have here a note that he wrote to me, an attachment also to the email, which was a video. He says, the video attached is of the matriarch of the family, Samalata, dancing in celebration for the generosity expressed towards her family. Her 28-year-old son, Bakroba, said that he had not seen his mom dance like that since he was a little boy. Your Christ-like kindness made that kind of joy possible. Folks, let me just tell you, this past year for Reach 77, we didn't tell you about this refugee family that needed help. We actually kept it internally, and the staff of the church put up all of the items that were going to go to this refugee family. That's the kind of staff that serves you. Our staff was the one who supported this family. And so we want to continue to come alongside Reach 77. And then also Samaria. 4% of all the funds will go to our Samaria ministries, which are Nazarene initiatives. Each year, we give a $400 gift to the Global Treasury Service to receive an opportunity to give out a Distinguished Service Award. This past year, we gave two Distinguished Service Awards, if you remember, one to the Poliaks and then one to the Sloans. Jan, I'm not sure that you were ever properly thanked for that. I think this might be a good opportunity. Jan, can we just thank you for your support? You're welcome, Paul. So we gave out two Distinguished Service Awards this past year. And those Distinguished Service Awards, like I said, they are $400 that is given from the church to go towards Nazarene Healthcare. I also want to share with you that our Links missionaries year after year receive support from us and the local church. And like I said earlier, we supplied a backpack, over 1,000 backpacks, to every student in Martin County, Kentucky, as we've partnered with the Turkey Creek Church of the Nazarene for the second year in a row. And we want to continue to support Turkey Creek as they make an impact in their area of Martin County, which is in the Appalachia region of Kentucky. Last but not least, actually the largest percentage and the largest chunk for Power of One this next year will be $31,000, and that'll go to our Ends of the Earth ministries. So we'll continue with the Costa Rica partnership. Now, one thing you have to know is this year, we're already fully funded. Due to Power of One, we're already, all of our project funds of $10,000 are all been fully funded for our team that's going down in June. But I'm also pleased to announce to you that we actually have a second team that's going to be going down at the end of June as well. And it's a little bit of a different team. It's not necessarily a work and witness team that's going to go down and work and serve in the local church. It's actually a team that's going to go down and offer education to pastors and district leaders. And so we have a team of people that are going to be heading down, including Carla Lovett and Pastor Herb and the Lowens. And am I missing anybody? I think that's right. And so we're actually sending down two teams of people this year to go down and have an impact on the Costa Rica North District. It's exciting. It's exciting when we obediently follow God, the doors that he opens for us to walk through. So we also are going to be supporting this year John and Mary Govender. Don't you just miss John and Mary? I mean, every time they're gone, there's kind of a hole, right? And they would hate me for saying this because they believe that the local church should just fill that hole in and they shouldn't be missed. But John and Mary have had it on their heart to reach out to women that are in crisis, and they have opened up a crisis pregnancy center in Durban, South Africa, actually in their home. And Mary, over the past year and a half, has gone through all of the proper steps in order for it to be officially governmental licensed and also to be up to code in order to be able to support women that come in. And so we as a church are going to be giving them a gift to show our support to them, because this is their local church. They actually have dual membership, which I've never heard in the Church of the Nazarene, but I looked it up myself. They have dual membership. Their membership is held here and also in Durban, South Africa. And so we're going to be giving them a gift this year. And then also, you need to know that the largest amount that we're going to be giving this next year will be $27,000 towards our World Evangelism Fund. And again, that helps to support the 700 Nazarene missionaries and volunteers around the world in 150 different world areas, speaking 212 different dialects and worshiping God all in one voice. So this is the breakdown of where the $53,150, and there is not a penny that's not accounted for, folks. We believe in good stewardship. We've talked about the power of one degree. We've talked about the power of one inch. And we talked about the power of one day. But as we close the service now, I want to talk to you about the power of 1%. The power of 1%. Just like these other examples, 1% doesn't seem like much, but combined with another 1% and another 1%, soon you'll be part of something exponential, and you'll see growth beyond our wildest dreams as we trust in God to do the work we can't do on our own. So here, let me just share with you the example and why you all are holding on to ping pong balls, which you've done a great job. You haven't thrown them at me yet. Thank you. Appreciate that. So I have here in this bowl 100 ping pong balls. There's exactly 100 in here. And what I want to suggest to you this morning is to realize that the first 10 is our tithe. And so as we look at the first, I got another bowl for this. Peyton, would you come and help me? Thank you, dear. So here, just stand right up here if you wouldn't mind. So what we're going to do is we're going to take 10 out. Now, who can tell me what this 10 represents? Tithe. See, each one of these ping pong balls represents 1% of your income. I started out with 100 in there because it represents 100% of your income. The reason we remove the first 10 is because we believe in the biblical storehouse tithing model that's shared with us in Scripture. You see, all of this is God's, but we take out the first 10, the first fruits, to give God glory and honor for being able to supply the 100%. Amen? So now, I want you to look. Yeah, you can go sit down. Thanks, babe. Oh. There you go. Thank you. She's our next member of the finance committee. Everybody on the board knows that math is not my forte. They love me anyway. So, hey now. Yeah, that's true. How do we know that there's 90? Well, you can count them. I did that work ahead of time. Actually, Peyton helped me, just so you know. So, here's the amazing thing. Even after taking 10 out, look at what is still left. This is the gift of God. We still have 90% of our income left. Now, here's what I want to challenge each of us to do. I want to challenge each of us to look at the 90%. Because there's amazing things that happens when we start stewarding the 90 well. And we say, I'm going to give 1% of my income to Power of One. 1%. Now, look at what you still have left. You have 89% of your income still left. One. The power of 1%. Now, here's the amazing thing. And this is going to help give us some reality. If everybody in the congregation did this, I wouldn't need to stand up here asking for this. And that's the reality. And don't worry, it's the reality in most churches. If everybody in the congregation that called Trinity their church home gave 10%, I wouldn't need to stand up here year after year asking for one. But the cool thing is, I talked to a bunch of pastors and I said, so what do you recommend to people about giving offering? You see, the difference is this is tithe, this is offering. Anything that you give above and beyond your 10%, your tithe, is considered offering. So I asked, what do you guys do? What do you recommend to your congregation when you say, how much should you start out with giving offering? It's a great question. A lot of people ask it. And most pastors say, well, I usually tell the congregation to start with 2%. 2% of what's left over after tithe, right? But you know what I figured out? That's pastor language for really what we want to give is one. So if we tell them two, hopefully they'll land on one. Well, listen, I don't, it's, for me, it's about recognizing what does God want to do with everybody pulling together. You see, the reason why we hit a goal of $52,975, sorry, let me say that differently. The reason why we received $53,736 last year was because everybody in the congregation pulled together. Everybody pulled together. It wasn't just talking about the faithful tithers or the people that give regularly on a regular basis. It was everybody. And what I need our congregation to do now is for everybody to pull together. If everybody in the congregation was to give 1% of their household income, then we would raise $53,150 like that. And it's true. It's true, just 1%. So what you hold in your hand is a representation of your 1%. Now, you'll notice that today, there's no pledge cards. I'm not asking for pledges today. In fact, I don't really want to ask for pledges. You see, Power of One is really between you and God. It's not between you, me, and God, or you and the finance committee and God. It's between you and God. It's an offering. It's something that you give in faith and believing. You know, we step out in faith and we believe that God can do more with our 1% than we could ever try to do, even with 89. So I don't want us to miss the opportunity that's here. Now look at this. Just do the math on this. Let's just say your household income, so combined income of everybody, is $84,000. If you times it by 0.01, you'll get $840. So that means what we're asking, 1% of the household income would be, if your household income is $84,000, would be $840. Now, many of you are doing the math in your head, and you're realizing, if I gave 1% of my household income, I actually would probably give less than I gave last year to Power of One, which is probably true. You see, Power of One is not about the amount. Power of one is about everybody doing their one. That's the power of one. And so even if you look at it like this, if you break it down even further, so you have $840 and you divide that by 12, and if you wanted to give monthly, so what does that equal? $70 a month. So $70 a month, if your annual income is $84,000 as a household, and if everybody gave 1%, we'd be able to get there. So the reason there's no pledge cards is because the first thing I want you to do is pray. That's the first thing. The second thing I want you to do is be prepared. Last year, at the end of April, we asked everybody to come and to bring their gifts. Since it was a smaller amount than we were anticipating, since everybody was pulling together, we asked for people to give what they could at the end of April. Well, this year, we're going to be celebrating what's called 1% Sunday. On 1% Sunday, we're going to ask on April 21st for as many people as possible, to bring in your 1% on April 24th, 1% Sunday. Now, I recognize and realize that for some of you, that's a stretch and that's hard. So of course, we're not going to turn anybody away from supporting Power of One in a different way. But we're asking for us to be mindful and aware of what does God want to do? Do we believe in the God of the impossible, right, church? So what's impossible for us is always possible for God. And God is the God of the impossible. And he wants to do something far greater than we can ask for or imagine. And he wants to do it with every one of us, with each of us. That's why I love this. As I was driving through Springbrook Prairie at nighttime, I don't remember where I was coming back from. I was driving, I was thinking, I was praying. And I was praying about Power of One. I said, God, you know, help me to know what I ought to do. Help me to know what to bring to the congregation. What is this going to look like? I said, what about the power of 1%? And immediately I said, Jesus, was that you? You know, we act like Jesus isn't in the room, but he is. You know, we sometimes act like Jesus isn't in the car with us, but he is. And I said, Jesus, is that you? And very, very quickly, I felt the Holy Spirit say, absolutely, absolutely. So I'm praying that I'm not up here committing ministerial suicide. Because I'm asking for some of you to consider giving less, if you think about it. And there might come a time where if we look at what we can do together with our 1%, and if it doesn't come up to where it needs to be, I might have to stand back up here and say, this is where we are. This is where the goal is. But see, the difference is my understanding and God's understanding. The difference is what I'm limited to know in my own mind, God is unlimited to know in the future. So we'll have 1% Sunday. So as we close the service, this is what I'd like for you to do. Pastor Stephen Furtick is quoted as saying, if you're not daring to believe God for the impossible, you're sleeping through some of the best parts of your Christian life. I love that. It's a great quote. And we're going to sing a song called The Church. And it talks about us being minded, missionally minded, and recognizing, what do you want to do with what I have? How do you want to support me? And this is all about us pulling together and each doing their part. And so as we sing this song, each of you, everybody should have a ping pong ball. Pastor Tony, I'm going to ask for you to come up. I'm going to ask for you to hold this tube. And just as a symbol of recognizing the power of your 1%, every child has a ping pong ball as well, because our children earn too. I don't know about you, but I give our kids every once in a while, an allowance. Some of it's just a part of, or commissions, yeah. Some of it's just because they're a part of the family, they need to do chores, right? But you know what? Our kids are earners too. And what would it look like for our kids to get on board? We teach our kids the biblical mandate of tithing, and they give tithe. But what would it look like for them to understand the mandate of offering as well? So as you came in this morning, everybody should have received a ping pong ball. As we're singing this song, just as a symbol of showing what a power of one, your 1%, could do, this is our goal. So we have to fill this tube and then get to this line to represent $53,150. Talk about faith, right? So would you stand with me? And as we sing, just come up and simply drop your ball in the tube.